We all battle discouragement in our life. We all might become depressed along the way. That's the natural thing in life, but we can overcome those things. Just to start off, just a funny story, if I could, just to loosen me up and to get you ready for God's word. I became pretty discouraged this week. Matter of fact, it happened Wednesday night when I landed in Florida, believe it or not. And one of the first things that my wife told me to do was, Chad, when you get off the airplane and you walk outside, take a deep breath, and you can smell the ocean air. And so I did that, and it smelled like home, to be honest with you. It was hot and humid there, so it didn't really resonate with me the way it did with her a few years ago. But I decided there was, as I was waiting for Dom to come pick me up, and by the way, Dom, thank you for doing that. That was late at night, and he did that, and very appreciative. But as you stand outside the airport, there's palm trees, and I enjoy palm trees. I haven't seen palm trees since Israel, and so it was nice to see those things again. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go take a selfie, and because that's what I love to do. I love to take pictures of myself and post them all over my house, so when I get discouraged, I can just see what I look like and be happy. No, that's not why I do those things. Matter of fact, that's the last thing I like to do anymore. 20 years ago, yeah, that would have been me, but not now. So I decided I'm going to take a picture, and I was going to send it to my wife. I knew she missed me, and she wanted to see my face and all those things. My face makes her happy. It might not make you happy, but it makes her happy. And so I took a selfie and I sent it, and I looked at that picture myself. And I got real discouraged because the guy that I saw in there wasn't the guy that I remember. And I'm only 45 years old. And I saw something that you guys have probably seen for the past few years that just became a realization to me. And that was how white my hair was. And I got discouraged in that. And like, good grief. Matter of fact, to the point last night, I was really talking about it with my wife, and my daughter decides to take pictures of my hair to show me how white it is on top as well. Because I begin to brag, I still got color up here. No, you don't, Dad. And my wife's like, no, you don't. But anyway, we talked about it last night, and it was a lot of fun. And as we begin to head home, my neck was hurting. It was on Friday. And I decided to, as we stopped in one of our places that we wanted to have something to eat, which, by the way, if you travel with Pastor, make sure you get directions ahead of time. You really got to pay not just to his voice, but to his hands. Because his hands do a lot of speaking. He wanted to eat, and he just went, like, okay, I'm not Fred Flintstone. I just can't put my feet out the door and stop on a dime. But anyway, I went in, and after we ate, there was a neck pillow there. I grabbed that, and I bought it, and I wrapped it around my neck. And I was in the car, and we're driving home, and I looked over at my dad. A lot of you guys don't know this. When Dad travels, he wears a neck brace. And I began to have thoughts go through my mind very quickly. And those thoughts were, I am seeing myself turn into my father. But that didn't really scare me. The night before, that scared me. Because we had dinner at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, it was more like 6 o'clock. I'm not used to eating that early. We had dinner, and Dad was tired, and the kids were restless. They're sitting down all day. And so I took them to Target just to shop around real quick. I come back, and I'm sharing a room with Mom and Dad, and he didn't know I walked in. But I'm thinking to myself, this is what I get to look forward to? He just ate dinner and went to bed and was in for the night. But what really got me is, like, I'm thinking, this is what I get to look forward to. And then I looked as he's underneath the covers. I kid you not, I thought I was looking at Darth Vader because he had a CPAP machine on, and you can hear him breathing. I was like, oh, wow, this is neat. But anyways, I was kind of getting discouraged of those things. You guys are going to go up to him later and say, Pastor, you are my father. I got discouraged. And that's just a funny story. But in reality, folks, we all get discouraged in life, whether it be over the simplest things. We get discouraged with our finances. We've probably all been in a situation where, man, I don't know how I'm going to make my mortgage. I remember when Chris and I first got married, there was times I'm thinking to myself, man, are we going to continue eating ramen noodle soup the rest of our lives? And because at times were tough. I had borrowed furniture, used furniture that was given to me. I didn't live extravagantly, which is fine by me. But there's times like, man, are we going to make it? But as you look back, you see how God has kept his hand upon you and brought you through those times. 25, going on 26 years of marriage. We've had great times and we've also had not so great times. And you wonder how you get through those things. And it's because God is in the midst of you. And those are encouraging times. We have times where our body seems to fail us. And we wonder, man, what's going on? And we become real discouraged in our life. And I can't imagine what people go through when they hear the word cancer or you only have a few months to live and great discouragement comes in their lives. And we all face those things. It's different for every single one of us. But I do have hope for us tonight because even though we face discouragement, we have a God who's with us. And I'm grateful for those things. And we're going to see that the greatest encouragement that we can ever get is not from people. And I'm not saying that to demean people when they come up and try to be an encouragement to you. But the greatest encouragement that we can get is from the Lord himself. And I was told recently that hey, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. David did that. And David received great encouragement from him, even through the heartaches that he went through. Imagine being hunted by somebody and wanting to end your life. But he sought encouragement in the Lord. Imagine that discouragement about him. His own father-in-law chased him around the town, wanting to destroy his life. And God comforted him. God gave him encouragement. And we're going to see this in the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 tonight. I'm going to read the verses up to verse number 17. This verse number 17 is going to be my main point tonight, but I just want to give you a brief history of what's going on here. It says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I say, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoiced in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." I'm going to stop right there, and we'll finish the rest of this as we go on further. But let's bow ourselves in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight that we're able to come to you and to be able to worship you this evening. God, I pray that today is not the only day we set aside to worship you, to praise you, to lift our voices up in songs this week. I pray that we would do that at home. I pray that we would do that with our children. And God, I pray that you just work and bless. Again, guide us as we go through your word tonight. Again, we pray for Lord, Mrs. Smalley, Lord, tonight. I pray that you just bring healing to her body. You just watch over her. We pray for Mrs. Nelson again. It's been mentioned several times this evening, God, as she goes in for her procedure tomorrow, that you just bring her great comfort. And God, I pray that you would give the doctors answers and how they need to further treat her. Again, we pray for Mr. Nelson. Give him strength as he travels around with his wife to these doctor's appointments. And you just give him great strength. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So as we read here tonight in Zephaniah chapter 3, we will see that great encouragement comes from God. So let's just rehearse what we just read. Zephaniah chapter 3 is about a wicked city, if you haven't caught that point. And it's about a righteous God as well. This city, which was faithful, became a harlot. You see that in verse number 1. You also see that the city had become very disobedient and received no correction from God. We see during this time, as she was disobedient, she withdrew herself from God. Have you ever seen that in your children that you have raised, or maybe your nephews and nieces in that nature as well? They become very disobedient, and what do? They don't want to draw close to you. No, they want to draw away from you. For this reason, they don't want to face correction. They don't want to face the consequences that might come about them at that particular time. And so when there is a rebellion, which, by the way, a rebellion is a mindset of a bad attitude, saying that someone else's ways are not right, but your ways are better. And that's, honestly, that's how kids think. Mom and dad, they don't know what's good for me. I know what's good for me. And the fact of the matter, it's reversed. Mom and dad, they know what's best. And so when you have a natural rebellion, you're going to have a natural drawing away from God. You see this in our country today. There is a rebellion that's going on out in our world. And as the world further rebels, they're going to further withdraw themselves from God. They become more distant. They're creating space. They're putting space further and further in between them and God. And that's just the natural process of that. And so there is a withdrawal from God. But I also believe, because there is a rebellion and there is a withdrawal from God, I also believe that during these times, God can bring us back together. It's not going to be a man. It's going to be God. God is going to be the one that is going to unite us. So as we continue to see what's going on here, we see that she wrongs her neighbors, the ones that she's in contact with, their neighboring cities. You know, we Council Bluffs, Iowa, we have Underwood, we have Glenwood. Go to Omaha, you got Bellevue, Papillion, Elkhorn, all those places. So she wrongs her neighbors and those that she inhabits. We see that she totally disrespects other ways of living. And we don't like that when somebody comes into our neighborhood. They're all new. We're comfortable with how we're living. Then all of a sudden somebody comes in. They're not used to the neighborhood. They're not used to how you live. And they come in, and what do? They disrupt your lifestyle. They bring in the loud music. They bring in the partying and things of that nature. And the next thing you do, hey, pastor, can you please move back to your old neighborhood? I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you guys are awake. But they disrespect other ways of living. The city has also provoked God, and they walked contrary to him. Not also the city was corrupt, but you see that the men who had lived during this time were also men who pursued a life of wickedness. Matter of fact, what this means is that they wanted to live this way. They were content living this way. They were not content living for God. They wanted to rebel against God. And so they pursued to live a life of wickedness. And it wasn't just the men. It was the priests of this time as well, where they betrayed the people's trust. We wouldn't like it tonight if our pastor betrayed our trust. We want to go to him. We want to confide in him. Why? Because we trust him. And they betrayed the trust of the people. And so you can imagine that this city is a city that's, in my mind, as I read, is a place that is non-desirable for me to even want to raise a family to be a part of. But some people are drawn to those things. They're drawn to that wicked lifestyle. They're drawn to a rebellious way of living. Why? Because their life is without God. And so when they have a life without God, they're naturally drawn to those things. And so I wouldn't want to put myself in there, let alone raise a daughter or a son and have a wife there as well. And so, but unfortunately, some people desire those things. But however, there are blessings that come. And they will come as they seek forgiveness and as they begin to walk away from those things. You saw back in verse number 8 through verse number 13, you see about how they were living, but you also see because they live, there is judgment that came upon them. And that happens in our life. And so verse number 17 is the key verse that that I want to focus on here tonight. These last few verses from verses 14 through 17 is what I want to focus on. And the reason why I want to focus on these verses tonight is because they bring great encouragement to me. As I go through difficult times in my life, you know, a little bit earlier I was saying, you know, I was discouraged and depressed in a funny way. But in reality, I face discouragement. I get depressed in life just like anybody else does. I get down and feel defeated at times. And it's during those times where you and I should really see God in this, but unfortunately we don't see God because we're caught up in our own problems and in our own pity. And it's unfortunate because there's blessings beyond the clouds, and we're not looking beyond the clouds. And it's amazing that what we don't see. But I found myself being discouraged and not knowing what to do at times. And you guys have been in that situation as well. And there are times where I don't even know where to begin to seek encouragement, to be honest with you. Because there are times that you can't even begin to express how you feel to somebody. You don't know what to say, and you know that if you do say something, that you're not going to hear the words that you want to hear, and that's unfortunate times as well. But I found out there is always encouragement that comes from the Word of God every single time. No matter what you and I are facing and going through in our life, God can encourage you through His wonderful, brilliant, well-written Word that He has preserved for you and for me. And it's amazing what God will do for you when we begin to open up His Word and allow Him to be an encouragement to you. And the Word is very uplifting. It's very assuring. And I love the fact that God has given us the ability to be able to read and to be able to take it in and to be able to meditate upon those things that He has allowed us to read. One of the things that I found in life that helps me through encouragement is to be encouraged is to sing. Now, I don't pretend to be the world's greatest singer, nor will I ever be until I get into the presence of God. But I love to sing, and people might laugh, really, you like to sing? Yeah, there are times where I find myself humming a lot. Or if I'm not humming, I begin to whistle. And I'll begin to whistle hymns that I've grew up with and become very, very familiar with. And the reason for that is because singing the right songs is an encouragement to you. Now, I don't walk around and begin to sing Michael Jackson songs. I don't walk around and begin to sing, I can't even begin to think of anybody else that comes to mind, to be honest with you. I was thinking Ted Nugent for some reason, but I don't know any of his songs. But I don't sing those songs because those songs don't bring encouragement to me. They don't speak to my heart. They don't minister to my heart. But the hymns do. We see here in verse number 14, it says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." I begin to understand as you begin to sing a song that God has laid upon your heart, you begin to forget about the problems that you have been discouraged with, the problems that have depressed you. You are once down, and you begin to sing songs like Amazing Grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That begins to minister to your heart because you're so thankful for the grace of God being bestowed upon you. He didn't have to do that, but he does that for you and for me. It's great to sing songs, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You heard of Naomi a few moments ago. She had no idea what I was going to be speaking on tonight. And she had a week where Leah is not a happy person for the week. But she found her happiness in what? Did you catch what she said? In singing simple kids' songs. And I love kids' songs. There's a song that I used to sing, and I don't think we've ever sang it here in church, but I love it, and it goes on, "Who's the king of the jungle? Hoo, hoo." I love that song. I'm not going to finish singing that song for you, but it goes on and on. Maybe I'll share that with you later. We'll have a singspiration or something. I can share those songs with you. But songs begin to take our mind off of those things. And we're able to take a break from that has discouraged us. And what's it do? It brings us into a place where we're no longer sad, and then we begin to rejoice. We begin to be glad. And this speaks very particular to me because I remember as a pastor, he talked about this morning 3.5 years ago what he went through. God miraculously brought him through, which, by the way, you realize tonight that because you're God's, you're immortal. You really are. You're not going to die until God's done with you. And it's obvious that God's not done with us because we're still here. But I remember this going on. I can't remember how long the time had passed, but the state that he's in. But I remember this very specifically. There is one particular day that Pastor began to whistle. And I didn't really pick up on it, but my mom did. And I knew what it did for her because she spoke about it. And it was almost as if she said, "Things are going to be okay. Your dad's whistling, and I haven't heard that in so long. And it's so sweet to hear." It took her out of her discouragement. It took her out of her distress. And it brought her to a place where she's glad. She's able to be happy. She's able to smile. And she's able to rejoice. That's what songs do for us. That's what singing does for us. It makes us be rejoiceful. It helps us to, man, this is what it's really all about. It's not about my problems, and it's not about what I'm going through, because this isn't going to matter in eternity. We're so focused on now, we don't really think about eternity. But singing those old gospel hymns brings us to a place of great encouragement. Songs of praise has a way of reviving your spirit. It helps to put your focus back upon God, which when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling discouraged, when we're feeling down, our focus isn't upon God because it becomes about ourselves. We're feeling sorry for ourselves, and that's the last place that we should not want to be in. I can remember many times as I was growing up, I heard this phrase, "Oh, get over it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself." There's so much truth to that. Really, think about this. We don't really need to feel sorry for ourselves. Why? Because we have God. We have yet to see the big picture. We don't see God during those times because we're focused upon ourselves. We're so involved in ourselves, and he really is not in a place of importance in our life at that point in time. So we need, through these songs, we put our focus back upon him. But why do we feel sorry for ourselves? Because our thoughts are on our problems, when in fact, they should be upon God. Do you realize how different tonight your attitude is, your thought process is, when you begin to think about who God is and what he has done for you and in your life? How he's brought you out of this circumstance and has placed you in a place, in a better position in your life. It's amazing how that takes place in our life. Singing not can only be a blessing to you, because a lot of us, we like to sing as we're not, when we're away from each other, we begin to sing, we begin to hum. It's not only just a blessing to you, But it can be a huge blessing to those that are around you. I have a privilege tonight to be able to have a wife and daughter who love to sing. And God has given them a talent, and I appreciate that talent. I have a wife who's able to play the piano by ear. That's something that I could not do. I can barely play by hand, but she plays by ear. That's crazy. And we have a piano in our home, and there are many nights where they just go and sit at the piano and begin to sing. They don't know this, but I turn the TV off the majority of the times, and I just sit there and I listen to them sing. And it begins to be such a big blessing to me. I take my thoughts off of the world that I was troubled with and plagued with that day. And I begin to put my thoughts upon God. And I begin to think, God, thank you for singing the song that I needed in my life that I didn't know that I needed. And so singing not only is a blessing to you, but it's a huge blessing to those that are around you. We have a great opportunity tonight as we gather every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, to be able to sing songs from our hymn books. But it goes beyond that. We have special music, which, by the way, we haven't had special music because we really, honestly, we haven't had a desire from folks to get up and do it. And we miss you folks wanting to do those things. It is a great ministry because it brings a blessing to somebody's heart. It is a tremendous blessing. And so it'll bless those that are around you who are struggling privately. Do you realize tonight, if Julie didn't give a testimony tonight or Naomi didn't give a testimony tonight, we would not know of their struggles. And so probably in a song tonight, it lifted them up and it was an encouragement to them. People struggle privately and they don't like to share their problems with one another. But a song could be such a tremendous blessing to somebody. And it gives us a renewed focus and a better outlook on our situations. The judgments you see in verse number 15 were removed, and God's people said, Amen. It says, The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee, thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, and to Zion, Let not thy hands be slack. Verse number 17 is really, if it's not speaking to you tonight, it is speaking to me because this is something that I need to see in my own life. We see here that God removes the evilness, and we see that God shows great compassion on them. Yes, God judges his people for this reason. He loves and adores them. A mom and dad will bring correction to their child because they love and adore their children. It's not done out of hatred. It's not done out of spite. It's done out of great love for them. And through his judgment, he is showing his love, he is showing his grace, and he is showing his mercy. And you might ask yourself a question, how do you figure he is showing his grace and mercy and love to them? Because his punishments could be more severe than what they are. They really could be. Moms and dads do that a lot. They show their love, grace, and mercy as they discipline their children. You can get 9 lashes instead of 20 that you really deserved. I grew up some preacher kids that bragged about how many lickings they got from their dad. I kid you not. They come to school the next day, I got 50 lickings. I got you beat. I got 75. And I, as a Baptist preacher's kid, I had no idea what a licking was. I thought they were a strange family. And you remember that word, Jeff, they used? And Christy, remember those words, the licking they used? I never knew what it was, but I come to find out it was a severe punishment on the rear end. I got that now. But anyway, they bragged about those things. I'm getting off the subject here. But as we look in verse number 17, this here is key to me because we get so focused on our problems and on our situation that we fail to see something very important in our lives. And verse number 17 really brings this chapter into focus here. It says, The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Do you see what that says? The Lord thy God. is in the midst of thee. This verse has given me great encouragement throughout these last couple months, these last couple weeks. Because we have gone, not only as we've been challenged in our own lives, we've been challenged in this world, but one thing that we can rest assured, because we're His children, we put our faith and trust in Him, God is with us. We don't have to get focused on our problems and become discouraged and become stressed over them and become depressed, but rather we ought to be encouraged because God is with us. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. We all, if we allow, will become discouraged. And through this, as we become discouraged, we will want to withdraw ourselves from the normal life. And at times, we'll withdraw ourselves from God. Our situation that surrounds us today can become very discouraging. I'll admit that. It can become very discouraging, and it can weigh on you heavily. Wrong words from friends, family members, or co-workers can make it seem that we are alone and abandoned at times. And people are on edge today. They really are. Discouragement can lead to unimaginable thoughts that at times can cause people to commit suicide as well. And that's unfortunate. But for me, this verse brings great comfort, takes away my discouragement, and gives me a life renewed because I was able to see something that I know I should be seeing every single day of my life. I am not alone. You are not alone. I am His. And because I am His, He is with me. Do you realize tonight, we're not just children, we're children of God. We're God's sons and we're God's daughters. We have a kingdom to inherit. We are a part of a royal family. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. And one of these days, we're going to be able to see those things that we are going to inherit. But so often, we think that we're fighting this battle alone. We think that we're taking on this discouragement and this depression upon ourselves, when in fact, we don't have to. Because we always have somebody that we can turn to. We might be able to turn to a lot of folks in this world, but we know that we can turn to God because God's going to give us encouragement. He's going to encourage you. He's going to lift you up. And as He encourages you and as He lifts you up, He's going to bring a song into your heart to your lips to where you're going to be praising the Lord. And I have found this part in my life, as He does those things, I forget all about my discouragements. I forget all about the stresses that are in my life because of the song He brings to my heart and brings them to my lips. You are not alone. He is with you. God is near you, but unfortunately, we push Him away. We say no at times, and we don't want to have fellowship with Him. He wants to be a help to us. He wants to be an encouragement to us. But as we push Him away, there are times during that we reject Him. All He wants to do is be helpful to us. We are the ones who choose to live in defeat. But whatever you face in life, be assured, rest assured, that God is with you. You are never alone, nor will you ever walk alone. As I was growing up, I used to be a person that loved to watch the Jerry Lewis telethon. And it's sad today that we're no longer able to see those things. I enjoy staying up late and be able to watch, hey, how much money's coming in. And hey, Ed, do the roll call. See what we got now. You're at $32 million. And they would break the record every single year. And it would go to a cause, trying to cure a disease of multiple sclerosis. And he had such a great heart for these people that suffered with this disease. And he knew that these people faced discouragement. They were discouraged. They were depressed. They had tremendous hospital bills. There were prescriptions that they weren't able to afford. And through this organization, he was able to bring just a little bit of hope to these folks' lives. And after the end of every telethon, he would get up there. And Sometimes he would have the individual with him, that person that they would sponsor for the year. And he would get up and sit down. That don't make sense. He'd get up and sit down. You know what I meant by that. He'd get in front of the camera, and he'd grab his microphone. And Jerry Lewis wasn't a great singer, but he always mustered out these words. And with tears in his eyes, he'd look at the individual as he's singing this. He says, "You'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone." And I can always see those young children, sometimes middle-aged adults, that are going through this just with a big smile, knowing that somebody is there with them, knowing that somebody has their back. Let me be an encouragement to you tonight. You might feel alone. You might feel discouraged and depressed at times, but God is with you. All you got to do is reach out to him. His hand's right there. Do you not think that Peter was discouraged and depressed the time that he took his eyes off of Jesus? What did he do? He just reached out to Jesus. Jesus' hand was already there. It was waiting for him. He's there to encourage you. He's there to lift you up. He wants to be a help to you. And all you got to do is reach out to him, because you are not alone. You are his child, and God is with you. I don't know about you, but that's such great encouragement. And we need that type of good news in our lives, knowing that he is with us. And not only is he with us, he is for us and not against us. I don't know about you, but again, words that only come to my mind is, that's exciting. And I can't begin to express my joy in that as I begin to read this. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." We don't serve a weak God, we serve a strong God. He will save. He doesn't want anybody to perish and go to hell. He will save you if you call out to him. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Think about that. That is truly amazing with that statement. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee, as we start out verse number 14, with singing. He will joy over thee with singing. That verse tells me right there, God sings. You ever thought about that? And he will rejoice with thee. And one of these days, we're going to be able to hear that voice sing. It's going to be different. It's going to be unique. But it's going to be exciting. But I hope tonight that you can take this message, and I hope you apply it to your heart and to your life. I'm going to pray, and we'll be dismissed tonight, unless Pastor has something to say. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless us as we leave from here tonight. Lord, I just want to thank you for allowing the folks that are here tonight to be here. I pray, Lord, that you just continue to bless them. Be with the ones that are at home. God, we pray that soon, someday, quick, that we will all be together in this church building praising you and worshiping you. Lord, until then, help us to be an encouragement to one another and to be a help to one another. And we ask it in your name. Amen.